Every sip of Coca-Cola brings you closer to the excitement of the FIFA World Cup 26. Because nothing compares to the joy. So grab a Coke and drink in the FIFA World Cup 26. No purchase necessary. 13 plus in 50 U.S. states and D.C. with a web-enabled device. Ends March 1st with 8 entry periods. Rules at cokeurl.com/soccer rules.
Well, the holidays have come and gone once again, but if you've forgotten to get that special someone in your life a gift, well, Mint Mobile is extending their holiday offer of half off unlimited wireless. So here's the idea. You get it now. You call it an early present for next year. What do you have to lose?
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Limited time 50% off regular price for new customers. Upfront payment required. $45 for 3 months, $90 for 6 months, or $180 for 12-month plan. Taxes and fees extra. Speeds may slow after 50 gigabytes per month when network is busy. See terms.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of The Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show. This is The Rich Eisen Show.
Shaheed to the end zone, 95 yards.
And Denver's going to the AFC Championship game.
Touchdown, Patriots.
It's gone.
Rams win it.
Today's guests, NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero, Fox Sports NFL analyst Mark Schlereth, plus latest news and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Welcome to the Rich Eisen Show.
Yeah, right.
Anything going on?
Wow.
I don't know. I've just been sitting here.
That's amazing.
Since Friday.
That's phenomenal.
What's going on? Anything?
And I ate a whole wheel of cheese.
Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show here on Disney Plus, the ESPN app. ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80. Holy crap. 844-204-RICH is the number for you to dial. There's so much to talk about. Chris Brockman and I have already handled our Overreaction Monday business. It's sitting on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show. If that's how you take in that show, we always appreciate you watching it there or listening to it on the ESPN Pod Network that helps with the Rich Eisen Podcast Network. Get everything that we do on that front out all 3 hours of this show. And of course, Overreaction Monday is probably sitting in your RSS feed right now. Chris Brockman, good to see you.
Rich, what's up, man?
Jason Feller, good to see you. TJ Jefferson, candle is lit. Good to see the whole sports world is lit.
Well, everything's
right now.
Lit, baby.
I know. I got a national championship game tonight as well. We'll talk about that on this program. Listen, I'll be straight up with you. When that simultaneous catch that wasn't a catch, it was an interception, all that business that went down in overtime of that big time game between the Bills and the Broncos, when that happened, I thought to myself, oh my goodness, this is going to be something that is going to be leading our program, and that's going to be something everyone's going to be talking about regardless of what happened the rest of the playoff weekend. Kind of wrong about that, because it's not even in the top two things talked about coming out of the Bills and Broncos game itself. And I thought the Bo Nix broken ankle would be the number one thing being talked about coming out of that game, since it resonates into the AFC Championship game that Jarrett Stidham's going to start. First guy to start a championship game without having thrown a single pass in the regular season. That's unbelievable. But then we wake up this morning and find out Sean McDermott has been fired as the head coach of the Buffalo Bills after 9 seasons there.
Yo.
So there's that. And I'll be straight up with you. I am surprised by it. I understand there's been rumblings, there's been this, there's been that. If you live in the Western New York area or you've got your feet firmly planted there, despite not living there, like our coordinating producer, Mike Hoskins, saying that Sean McDermott talking about the roster to others who go on in the media. My old friend Vic Carucci talking about this in the Western New York area. Doesn't sit well with ownership, doesn't sit well with the general manager, who obviously sits very well with ownership. And this loss turns out to be Sean McDermott's final game on a sideline there. And it's not just any 9 seasons as head coach for the Buffalo Bills. A resurgent 9 seasons for the Buffalo Bills, because they draft Josh Allen. And McDermott is there for Allen's ascension and his first playoff game of his career in Houston, where they go into overtime and lose. So his first playoff game as head coach of the Buffalo Bills, you know, with Josh Allen, ends in an overtime loss, and his last one does as well. And in between, life moments that he was brilliant in guiding this team through. Brilliant. From a massive snowstorm in Western New York that creates havoc for the people there to try and get through. And they have to, if you remember, play in Detroit, a home game in Detroit. Then they have to go play a Thanksgiving game in Detroit. Move the team through all of that. But nothing is more important than life and death issues and the way Sean McDermott stewarded the ship when one of his players dropped dead on the field and needed to be resuscitated. The way Sean McDermott handled everything with that team with DeMar Hamlin, he deserves to always be lauded for his work with the Buffalo Bills being their head coach. And, you know, Terry Pegula, in his message to the fans and his announcement about it, talked about how McDermott will always be remembered for his work, an admirable job of leading our football team for the past 9 seasons, and how he changed the mindset of this organization, was instrumental in the Bills becoming a perennial playoff team. That is all true. I respect all the work, loyalty, and attention to detail he showed for this team and the community. I wish Sean, Jamie, and his family all the best. And he said he, however, felt the team is in need of a new structure within our leadership to give this organization the best opportunity to take our team to the next level. We owe that to our players and to Bills Mafia and Brandon Bean, who has been the general manager, has now been given the role of president of football operations, and he's going to oversee all facets of the football ops, including the oversight of our coaching staff. And how he then said how he has full faith in Brandon, having witnessed outstanding leadership and style, and his confidence in his abilities to lead our organization. And Bean has got class and style, and there's no question about that. James Cook and Dawson Knox are the only Pro Bowlers that have been drafted by the team since Josh Allen. And I know fans of Buffalo are going to have to, who feel that the roster is what's letting Josh down, might be disappointed to hear that the general manager is going to be still in charge. But that's for Western New York and the ownership and Brandon Bean to have to handle by hiring the next right guy. And I think personally, I think this is part and parcel of the landscape the NFL is undergoing right now. And by that I mean, you see Ben Johnson doing what he's doing in Chicago, right? You get the right play calling head coach who brings in a whole different set of eyes to a situation with a young quarterback who needs guidance. Boom. The Bears damn near make the NFC Championship game.
Yep.
Just like that. And then you see two franchises in your own conference in Baltimore say, great 18-year run out of John Harbaugh. Perennial Super Bowl contenders, perennial playoff contenders. But we're not getting the results with our MVP quarterback that we want, which is the Super Bowl. Haven't made one yet with him. And even though we won one with John Harbaugh, Steve Bisciotti's like, it's time. And then in Pittsburgh, 19 years, Mike Tomlin decides it's time. You heard Art Rooney II say, I would have given Tomlin a 20th season here. But the way it's been done, just down the road from Buffalo, is no longer going to be the way it's done. And I think you put it all together, and Terry Pegula, with whatever else was going on there in Western New York, says it's time. And now Sean McDermott is out as being the head coach of the Buffalo Bills. And I'm just wondering, will they go CEO head coach? Will they turn to Joe Brady and say, you're already in Allen's ear? Stay there and see what you can do. Or do they say, well, he's already in Allen's ear and we lost another overtime game with him. We can't seem to put these things together. So let's get a totally different new voice, a totally different new situation. Or do you go back to the guy who was previously in Allen's ear in Brian Daboll? Or is it a tough sell to the Buffalo fan base that we're going to take, yeah, a guy who was coach of the year 1 year, but the rest of the time couldn't get the Giants out of the cellar. Forget about the Super Bowl. Or do you go to some other new, find the new Ben Johnson? I have no idea what the Pegula plan is, because this morning I was stunned to learn that McDermott's out. And the one thing that I need to do if I'm the Pegula family, and I'm sure they already have, is personally tell Josh Allen what's up and say, please do not internalize this as it's your fault, as he did after the loss to the Denver Broncos. And I understand Allen's turnovers were mind-numbing, like the one right before halftime that gifted the Broncos 3 points. And also an interception that was seemingly thrown late over the middle that wound up just basically being a de facto punt. And I understand Allen also has got to be maybe sitting there thinking, if I hit Dawson Knox, if I hit him right at the end of regulation,
man,
we're in the AFC Championship game and Sean McDermott's still the head coach. But yeah, to use a phrase of the aforementioned individual who's no longer in Pittsburgh, if your aunt had male parts, she'd be your uncle. It's amazing how that phrase can actually fit many different situations.
Yeah, sure can.
You know, Josh Allen is a reason why this is going to be a job opening that is coveted right now. And, you know, this was Allen after the game in Denver, just taking it all in. And I think giving voice to the emotions of everybody in the Bills Mafia.
How hard is it to just get here again and have this happen?
It's extremely difficult. I feel like I let my teammates down tonight.
Your emotions normally aren't this emotional for us. Is what has brought this on?
Just missed opportunities throughout the game. It's been a long season. I hate how it ended, and it's going to stick with me for a long time.
Got to wonder if he had an inkling that McDermott might have a poor meeting with the owner when they got back to Western New York. I don't know what else to read into that other than the fact that Josh Allen's empathy and emotions are part of his superpower and part of parcel why he's one to root for and why Bills fans love him. And hey, Josh, you're now 0-3 in your career playoff overtime career. You know who else is? It's Peyton Manning and Aaron Rodgers. You know who's also 1-3 in those regards? Drew Brees and Brett Favre. You know what they're all going to have in common?
Jackets.
Ohio.
You know the difference between
of the day.
All of them and him, though?
What, Super Bowl rings?
Yeah.
And that's, but Allen is in a very early part of his career still. Remarkably, they're only the third team all time to score 30 or more points with no punts in a playoff loss. Last time it happened was the Patriots losing Super Bowl 52 to the Eagles, and then the Chiefs in the divisional round in 2003 and losing to the Colts. And I will just, again, give voice to a lot of Bills fans who are hearing this right now saying, what about the officiating? And we'll talk about that later on in this program. But for the moment, a new Bills world starting this weekend, where a similar result in terms of the playoffs winding up short. And I understand there is no Mahomes, Lamar, Burrow. This was the moment, and they had their moment and just could not come away with a win that was there for the taking. What would have been an AFC championship game contest in New England by the end of the weekend, that would have been the result. Instead, now the Buffalo Bills family has been upended, and they're in a new coaching search. And it earned Tom Pelissero an early morning text from me saying, you got to come on the show today. And he said, okay. That's coming up in hour number two.
Ravens, Steelers, Bills.
Yeah. Lamar.
All new head coach.
Josh Allen. And an organization that is an MVP of organizations that changes coaches once in a generation. These are all open jobs, which means if you're Tennessee or you're Cleveland or you're Arizona or you're Miami, you're like, damn it. You know, at least for Atlanta's sake and the Giants' sake, they got their guys. We'll talk about all this later on. But very rarely do you see a playoff game end where both fan bases are gutted. Because this is crazy. You texted the group first, TJ, with an alert from ESPN that, or a tweet or a post from ESPN.
Yeah, it was in my group chat for my fantasy guys, my boy who's always on top of stuff. He goes, Bo Nix broke his ankle. And I'm like, yeah, right.
And then you sent it.
As a question.
Right. Like, is this real? And, you know, check marks mean nothing anymore.
Right.
Okay. It could just mean somebody who's like, hey, I'm now an agent for somebody in the portal. Or it's like, I'm just somebody with a bio that says I'm all about being a good person, but then I'll tweet about you being fat and awful and all that sort of stuff. So that, but I got it. I paid for my blue check mark. But, sure enough.
Then I followed it up.
Dude, I just started texting people and I started going online and I'm like, is this real? Is Bo Nix really done? And then I looked in my inbox for NFL Network and sure enough, it came from the news desk. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Because Bo Nix walked off the field. Look at him.
I know.
That's a guy with a broken ankle.
Yeah.
And then we find out the guy who flipped one to Marvin Mims for what turned out to be the final coup de grace, the pass interference on Trey White, which I'm sorry, Bills fans, was the proper call. That guy threw that pass and then took the subsequent victory formation with a broken ankle that requires surgery Tuesday. It wasn't one of those things where it's like, well, we're going to go on an MRI. We'll see what's up.
Let's see if, but his pain threshold.
And Sean Payton didn't even decide to play like cat and mouse with whoever was kind of coming to his house for the AFC Championship game. It's just like, yeah, it's getting out. Everyone's going to know about it. And so Bo Nix, he came back to the podium to say, to say this. Hit it.
Not good news. On the second to last play in overtime, Bo fractured a bone in his right ankle. He's scheduled to have surgery Tuesday of this week.
This is nuts.
Which will put him out for the rest of the season. Steady's ready to go. I said this at the beginning of the season. I feel like I've got a two that's capable of starting for a handful of number of teams. And I know he feels the same way. So watch out. Watch.
That's the 21st century version of we will rally around Kurt Warner and we will win.
Right.
Where it's just like, I'm telling everybody through the media, I believe in you, Jared Stidham, and telling everyone through the media to my locker room, we're fine. I got this. Stidham's got this. And I've got a bunch of stats here. I'm just going to unload most of them for you. Stidham's going to be the first quarterback to make his first start of the season in the conference championship game, or later since Roger Staubach in 1972. He got hurt in the preseason. Craig Morton played well enough to keep the job, but then Tom Landry benched him in the divisional round. Staubach led the comeback and then played in the NFC championship game, starting his first start of the season, which is remarkable stat in and of itself. Yeah, Roger Staubach was once benched by Tom Landry and couldn't get his job back until the playoffs.
Oh, wow.
That happened. Stidham's four career starts, because don't forget, his last starting stretch happened when Sean Payton told Russell Wilson, yeah, we're done now. And, you know, we'll see about the offseason if we're willing to keep you, but we're benching you because the last thing we want is for you to get hurt, and now we're stuck with you. His four career starts are the fewest in NFL history by a quarterback before starting in the conference championship game. His last postseason start, and that's in quotes, when Auburn pounded Purdue in the 2018 Music City Bowl, 63-14. He had five touchdown passes.
Hey.
Stidham's backup quarterback was Malik Willis. And Purdue's quarterback is Washington's newest offensive coordinator, David Blount. That's how long ago it was.
What?
I've got one more, but that's going to be a did you know to end the hour. Oh, I'm going to keep one in my back pocket.
One in the chamber.
If you will.
Jeez.
So, at that point in time, I should have just chosen the Patriots to make the AFC Championship game because this is the most Patriots thing ever to make it and then play this guy. But, if anybody knows how good Stidham could be, it's the team that drafted him in the fourth round.
Right? See?
Yeah.
Stidham revenge game.
Stidham revenge game.
Yes.
Broncos fans are freaking out right now, and I don't blame you. I don't blame you, but if there's anybody who could pull it off, it's Sean Payton. It really is. Everybody knows it. Everybody in New England knows it. 100% it's going to be Vrabel's rallying cry all week long. Don't believe the hype. Don't listen to the rat poison. Don't do any of that. We're going to have our hands full, as well they should, because Drake May was wearing either Will Anderson or Danielle Hunter on his lap much of the day yesterday, and Nick Bonito is no slouch. Neither is Zach Allen. Neither is that defense. Neither is that Rocky Mountain air. Neither is the fact that the Patriots have never won a playoff game in that building. So, you can't make it up. They say that all the time about the NFL. You can't make it up, but Bo Nix is done for the year, and Jared Stidham is going to be the guy to potentially be the first Bronco in Super Bowl 60. First Bronco to start a Super Bowl for the team since Peyton Manning did in Super Bowl 50, and he would do it in the same building in Super Bowl 60. Can't make it up. That's just one game. There are three others. And we'll come back and talk about the Sunday Nighter. Holy crap. Of course, the Seahawks moving on and the Patriots moving on. We'll hit that and we'll hit the phone lines. 844-204-RICH, Mark Schlereth, Hour 3, Tom Pelissero, and what went down in Buffalo. Still to come.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.
What is it that makes the all-new Hyundai Palisade Hybrid an incredible SUV? Is it the spacious interior that's comfy for the whole crew? Or the capability to go off-road? Maybe it's the 600-plus miles of range. Is it the driver behind the wheel? What if it's all of that and more? What is it then? The all-new Hyundai Palisade Hybrid. So much more than just another SUV. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. That's 562-314-4603.
Rich Eisen here. The tax deadline will be here before you know it, and you just want to know your taxes are actually being handled. But the old way? You hand everything off, and then silence. Days pass, weeks pass. You start wondering, should I send another follow-up email? It feels like you're chasing updates and getting nowhere. But now, taxes are different because your taxes are done for you by a TurboTax full service expert. With Intuit TurboTax, you can match with your dedicated tax expert and hand off everything right in the app. And while your expert checks for every deduction, you'll see real-time updates on your phone so you always know exactly where things stand. Suddenly, you're not refreshing your inbox. You're going for a run, grabbing a coffee, scrolling anything other than a just checking in message, because your TurboTax expert is handling it and keeping you in the loop. So this tax season, get your best possible outcome and every dollar you deserve without the guesswork. Visit TurboTax.com today to learn more. Real-time updates only in iOS mobile app. Only available with TurboTax full service experts. O'Reilly Auto Parts can help take the guesswork out of your check engine, ABS, or maintenance light with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE certified master technicians. O'Reilly Veriscan can identify the most likely problem with just one scan. If you need help, O'Reilly Auto Parts can recommend a shop for you. Don't ignore a check engine, ABS, or maintenance light. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today. A free service exclusively at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show on one big simulcast. I have not been more shook by, I don't know why I was. I live here in Los Angeles, and the Rams are a team, just full disclosure. One of my great friends, Kara Henderson Sneed, they were back in the day at ESPN. She was helped launch NFL Network on the air and all that stuff. And love McVay, love them all. But I was emotionally just shook watching that Sunday night game. Were you just on the edge of your seat? Were you watching with Ashton? Were you with him?
Nah, he's in Rome.
Oh, okay.
But I was at his house.
Oh, my God. So he's in Italy?
Yeah.
And he must have been up in the middle of the night watching that.
Definitely was.
Oh.
So I was,
I don't know if he could go to sleep after that one. I had trouble going to sleep myself, and I didn't have, you know, the emotional skin that he has in the game.
I was invested as a football
fan. That was unbelievable. Football, I mean, because it was real hardcore hitting.
Yep.
Brisker was hitting. Landman was hitting, right? Grady Jarrett was hitting, like everyone was hitting.
The visual of the
The snow, the
flurries, and the
right,
losing ground, just everything. As a football fan with no real skin in that game,
and again, awesome. I don't know how we're going to look back on this sort of thing, but I'm sitting there thinking to myself at the end of the day, because I know Stafford doesn't have like Mount Rushmore conversations around him. I, you know, believe he is a Hall of Famer, and I thought this year would be the year that everyone will come to my realization of how terrific he is as a player. But will we look back on this like Stafford versus Caleb in a way that we're looking at somebody, again, nobody's Brady, but you remember Brady and Mahomes back in the day? Mahomes lost at home to Brady.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just wondering if we're going to look at a game like this with quarterbacks like this and play callers like this, McVay, who, by the way, now has 10 wins as a head coach under the age of 40, which is double anybody else's, including John Madden. And McVay turns 40 Saturday, so he'll be coaching in his first game as a 40-year-old. Will be the NFC Championship game in Seattle on Sunday night. And Ben Johnson, what a remarkable season he had. But this wasn't like, you know, nobody could play defense. This was a tight game.
Yeah, and
10-10, and then the Rams take a late lead, and then the Bears go for it again on fourth friggin' down and don't get it, and the Rams, all they need to do is come up with two or three first downs, and all they come up with was one. Kyren Williams runs out of bounds after getting a first down, doesn't slide down. He tries to get the first down and gets knocked out of bounds, and the Bears get the ball back at midfield. Midfield, so the king of the comebacks,
just
and Caleb Williams, gets half the field. It's all good. We don't even make it drive the full field. The football gods are basically setting us up for another Caleb Williams. He's already gotten seven of these. Seven.
I was convinced it was over at that point.
Of these,
man,
comeback wins, but he's down. And you're thinking it's over, and he's down seven.
I thought the story was already written.
He's down seven, which for him is like a tie game. And all you need is one first down for a field goal to win. That's how Caleb Williams has been so lights out. And the Rams force a fourth down. And not only force a fourth down, but they force Caleb on this fourth down to fade back 20-something yards to get far enough away from the Rams defense, who are all over him, so he could at least launch one in the end zone for a sort of Hail Mary. And he turns a 40-yard touchdown into technically being a 14-yard touchdown. That's how far back he faded.
Right.
Look it up. The Cole Kmet grab goes in the books as a 14-yard touchdown pass.
Yeah.
But in the air, it was 40. And I defy anybody to tell me, wherever you are watching, you did not curse. Use some form of a four-letter word.
I just screamed. I didn't curse.
Okay. Yeah. There's no way. Even a Rams fan did not watch this wordlessly. That was one of the... It made his fourth and eight throw against the Packers look like an out route.
Just
hit somebody in the flat.
Oh,
and that pass was
unbelievable.
Yeah,
Caleb Williams had this to say. Like, just walk me through it, Caleb. How the hell do you do it?
I end up getting a little bit of pressure, and so try and break contain and just break angles and slow those guys down so that when I do turn around, I can have a little bit more time possibly to be able to find somebody. And they did a good job containing me, and so I just gained a little bit more depth. And I saw Cole one-on-one over there with everybody else on the other side, at least, near the goalposts. Understanding that, 14 was on him, he's a little bit, smaller guy. And Cole's obviously, a 6-foot, tight end, things like that. So I just wanted to give him my best ball and give him a shot. Understand it's fourth down and, kind of game on the line. Was game on the line.
Yeah, so I just, I just made one of the most incredible plays in the history of the National Football League. I just decided. He's so matter of fact.
So what's that? Is that it?
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Man. Now, tell me, raise your hand. Or verbally do it here since we're on the radio. Thought Ben Johnson was going for two. Anybody?
Yeah, of course.
I went back and
right?
forth.
Of course. And,
right?
Because they had the momentum, right?
But I was thinking it with like 5-6 minutes left if they score, he was going to do it. He's a psycho.
He didn't. He kicked the extra point, and here was his explanation.
Did you give much consideration to going for two there?
Thought about it. Yeah, thought about it. Probably what played a little bit of a factor was our goal to go situations hadn't gone very clean. Our inside the five plan hadn't worked out quite like we had hoped. And so I just felt better about taking our chances there in overtime.
I have to laugh.
Hard to argue.
It's hard to argue.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
First of all, I thought it was wise to go for the extra point. That's what I honestly thought. And go to overtime because this is such a stunning turn of events. And the reason why I'm chuckling is a coach doesn't go for it for a 2-point conversion to win it because he's already had enough of a body of work within the game going for it inside the other team's 5-yard line twice and it didn't work out.
Yeah, to have the data to be like, I don't think it's
we've
working.
Tried it already with less stakes and so. We tried it twice and it didn't work out, so we weren't going to go for the third time being the charm.
Fool me three times.
Really?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
What you said makes sense, right? But at the other point, Rich, let me ask you guys. You have Stafford and Adams and Nacua and Kyren's been running. Are you really – do you really want to risk giving him the ball? I mean, you've held him in check pretty
good. No. Well, it's valid. It's valid. But I'm thinking it's so stunning – to the other team, and McVay, after the game, gave voice about what he told the team after this stunner hit them.
Yeah, you know what? It was tough, but I thought what was great is hey, we can't do anything about it. Go on to the next play. Here we are in overtime. What happened then is done with. And we always talk about being in the moment, being totally and completely present. And I thought our guys did a great job of that. And, you know, I was really kicking myself because I felt like when we possessed the ball first, and I had mentioned it, I thought that possession was going to really cost us. And there's no excuse for that. You know, I have to be better for our group. I will be better for our group. But, man, I just can't say enough about the defense, what they did. And then for Cam Curl to be able to make that play, what a freaking catch. You know, and then offensively for those guys to do what they did, to be able to go get in field goal position. And, you know, and we had some chances. I thought we were going to be able to get a walk-off there with Colby or Ferg, but, you know, it didn't work out. And then Mevis ended up making it true. And here we are, and excited to be able to get a chance to work again.
So, again, what he's referring to is he's got to be better for the team. He's referring to the possession. Three first downs, game's over. They're out of Chicago, and it's over.
Yep.
And they only got one, and I think he's talking about his own play calling. Of course, he's referring to Curl making the play. He's talking about the interception in overtime that led to Mevis, his thicker kicker, making the game winner. And they do go back to Los Angeles as the winner. But the Curl interception did not happen because the Bears possessed the ball first. That's the way I'm answering your question, TJ, is that the Bears decided to take the ball second in overtime, and the Bears got what they needed, which was a defensive out of the Rams. And the Bears got the ball, needing just a field goal now to win it, and they were jamming the ball down the throats of the Rams, and they decide to throw it. And Cam Curl picks it off. And you also then got Stafford showing up after he gets the turnover and saying this.
I looked right at Sean. He looked at me and was like, and I'm like, here we go. And that's what it's all about. What an unbelievable, you know, job, like I said, by our defense today, getting us the ball over and over again, whether it be fourth down stops or turnovers, they were clutch and timely. And that's what it takes to win in the playoffs. You know, sometimes offense can go out and have a great day and find a way to win it. Sometimes defense can go out there and have a day like they did today and keep us in it for as long as they did and then make the play at the end to get us the ball back. So it's a team effort. We got a resilient group. Love being a part of it. Obviously things we can do better, but we found a way to win the football game. And in January and February, that's what matters.
So unbelievable. What a performance by the Rams. They get it done. They get what they need. They somehow keep the Bears from their eighth comeback such win, even with the throw of the century, you know, which we'll be talking about for some time. And so much for the cold weather. They get it done in the cold weather. Southern Californians going to the Midwest.
Yeah,
get it done in the cold weather.
Yeah, but Stafford, not great.
I got it. I understand.
20 of 42.
Doesn't matter.
67 passer rating.
Survive in advance. And they survived the cold weather. And I will just say this about Southern Californians. Going in the cold weather. A lot of Southern Californians are from other parts of the country. They can handle it. So stop with this nonsense that the Southern California people can't handle the cold weather. That said, we will always leave early and show up late. Okay? That's never going to change. All right?
That was normal.
We're always going to beat the traffic. None of this business about that will never change. One last word on the Bears. Bears fans, may I address you? I know you are hurting today. But, wow, what a season. And everything coming into this season was rife with, is this guy and Ben Johnson the right guy to make the guy that we need to be the guy? That box was most certainly checked. And I believe with a big fat Sharpie, indelible ink. Holy crap. Just quickly, this exchange, two of them, between the coach and the media and the quarterback and the media. First up, Ben Johnson on the throw that we're referring to, Caleb Williams to force overtime.
Ridiculous. That's ridiculous. I mean, you talk about that fourth and eight from last week. and how outstanding that was. And I think this one was probably even another level ahead of that. So there's some things that you just can't coach. He's got that about him. He's got a knack. He's clutch. He does so many good things. He's an eraser. You know, I have plenty of bad calls each and every week, and he helps make it right for me. And, you know, I know he's feeling it because, you know, we didn't win and have some turnovers mixed in there, and, you know, he's feeling it. But he's one of those guys I'm talking about. We'll remember this feeling, you know, and he's going to be stronger for it.
I agree. Tell me you don't agree, right? Is there anybody here who thinks that you don't agree that he's that good and he will get stronger for it? Obviously, I know you wanted it this year. No doubt about it.
No, man, that dude can win MVP next year.
No question about it.
Awesome.
I think and I love everything.
They are going to be back.
No doubt. Yeah. No doubt about it. I have zero doubts about it.
Because, Rich, Bears fans kind of like, they say his accuracy isn't there, right?
But that's fixable.
You can fix all that.
That's
you can't teach what he did on Bingo. That throw. That's Bingo. That's God-given.
Bingo.
You can't teach that.
Bingo.
That's the USC stuff.
Hit the target right there. And then this was Caleb on the interception. Hit it.
Yeah, I gotta go back and watch it. Obviously, haven't seen it and don't really know. But from in the moment, you know, saw the front side safety down, the front side of the concept, you know, end up getting hemmed up a little bit. And so moved on and had DJ going over top over all of it. Just a miscommunication between him and I. Tried to flatten him off under the safety, and he kept it vertical from, you know, what I saw on you know, obviously in the moment.
Everybody in all 22 world and everybody watching the game live, including Chris Collinsworth, saying DJ Moore ran a bad route, improper route, and Caleb was throwing it to where DJ Moore needed to be. And if that is in fact the case, Caleb's also an eraser of his teammates' mistakes by not pinning it on his wide receiver in the media, which young quarterbacks are prone to do because maybe that's in their DNA or they're not used to talking to the media. This kid is 100% ready for the spotlight in every way, shape, and form. Bears fans, you are good. I know you're hurting, but honestly, box checked. Let's take a break. Back here in a moment, right here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
As you know, managing maintenance, repair, and operations is never easy. But for the ones who always rise to the challenge, Grainger has your back. From professional-grade products you can count on to fast, dependable delivery, they're there to help you keep things running smoothly. Plus, their technical product specialists are here to help answer your toughest questions. And because Grainger knows safety is always a priority, they're committed to being your partner in protecting both your people and your facilities. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, our radio side as well. What is it that makes the all-new Hyundai Palisade Hybrid an incredible SUV? Is it the spacious interior that's comfy for the whole crew or the capability to go off-road? Maybe it's the 600-plus miles of range. Is it the driver behind the wheel from you to Parker Posey? What if it's all that and more? What is it then? It's the all-new Hyundai Palisade Hybrid, so much more than just another SUV. That's 562-314-4603 for you to call. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Okay, Seahawks fans, I see you. I see you 12s. You know what? This is how good of a coach Mike McDonald is. Okay? When you've got a quarterback who has an oblique problem, and you're wondering, can he throw? He hasn't thrown in 2 days. He's warmed up. Here's what you do. You return the opening kickoff for a touchdown. Great idea. Mike McDonald, you're a genius, man. And then, of course, you know, hey, San Francisco, that's Rashid Shaheed back there. I don't know, man. Maybe just boot it through the end zone. I don't know what this whole new, this is why the NFL wants this new kickoff rule, right? stuff like this can happen.
Yeah.
And sure enough, the 95-yard return for touchdown, last time there was an opening kickoff return for touchdown in the playoffs, Niall Davis did it for the Chiefs against the Colts in 2015. Before that, it was, in fact, the great Super Bowl opening of the Chicago Bears. Yep. From back in the day, that leads to a Hall of Famer existing, right? And so, hey, listen, the Seahawks wound up getting the amount of points they needed to win 13 seconds into the game because the defense is a wagon. It's not a unit, it's a wagon. It's a wagon. Seriously, the Rashid Shaheed touchdown made it 7-0. The Niners only scored 6 points. The Niners had an opportunity to get home field advantage throughout the entire playoffs, scored only 3 points against the Seahawks in the final game of the regular season, and then the Seahawks get their bye week, come back, and the Seahawks allow them to double the points. That's it. And with the Texans out, this is by far and away, with all due respect to Denver, the best defense in the playoffs remaining. Sorry, due respect to the Rams, obviously, and the Patriots. 236 yards of offense. That's it. Holy crap. Seahawks can absolutely win the Super Bowl. They can absolutely win the NFC Championship game, can absolutely beat Jared Stidham and the Broncos or Drake May and the Patriots. Absolutely can do it. Certainly if they are just suffocating everybody and getting special teams touchdowns on top of it. And Sam Darnold, all he's got to do is just, you know, stay healthy, not turn it over, get the running game going, get JSN or Cooper Kupp the ball every now and then. That's it. That's it. And I'm sorry, Seattle fans. I know I led with this, that, the other thing, and you're going to, and by the way, use it. Use it that nobody's talking about us. It's an East Coast biased world, unless it's college football and it's Southern, it's the Southeast biased or a Midwest bias. I get it. I understand it. You know, but hey, when it comes down to it, at the end of the day, if we're talking about you the most at the end of the day, that's all that matters. And everything else that happened in these playoffs, from what happened in Buffalo and Denver leading to a coach being fired and then a quarterback having their ankle broken, and then what happened last night with Caleb Williams' throw and the Rams coming back, you know, preventing him from coming back and winning the game. You know, when you blow out the 49ers, you know, it's not you, it's us in the media, is basically what I'm saying.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.